If you will, take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 11. I have thoroughly enjoyed our series together, The Table. We have one more week. We will be celebrating communion next week as well. Looking forward to that. It has been a joy to be able to gather together and do this all month and to look at these different passages from the Gospel of Luke that deal with a meal and Jesus. We could spend the rest of the year doing this, but we've limited it to four. And so Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 37, and it says this. I'll give you a second. I hear the pages turning. Luke 11, 37. It says, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Now, we'll continue on in a moment, but for just a moment, the Pharisees had a ritual that dated back all the way to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament of washing their hands before and after a meal. You would wash before, the basin would actually, water would pour over your hands, and you would wash afterwards. It was very ceremonial, but it was intended to actually be something that was for hygiene as well. But it had become much less about cleanliness and hygiene and much more about ritual and appearance in Jesus' day. So Jesus confronts the religious leaders by telling them, listen, you're more concerned about the outward appearance than about the condition of your mind and the condition of your heart. Now here's what I would say to us today. It's been 2,000 years since this encounter took place. Believers are still struggling with this today. It still happens today that believers struggle with the idea of wanting to look better on the outside than to really be concerned about what's on the inside. Friends, this is what I would say to you. Dressed up brokenness is still broken. Listen, a broken life in a three-piece suit is still broken. It is not about what's happening on the outside. This is important if you're writing things down. The gospel never starts with making someone look better. The gospel starts with grace and healing for the broken. And somehow that has been changed over the years among certain places and certain people to where it seems like the appearance is more important than what's happening on the inside. But Jesus' response to them was very interesting. Look what he says. He says, be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you. Now, Jesus was not suggesting that an act of generosity would pay for your sins. Some have taken it to mean this. That is not what he means. He was simply suggesting that generosity and grace living are a part of walking with God. It's a sign of someone who is walking with God. So let me ask you a question this morning. Is generosity, is grace living, are those evident in your life? If not, would you start by receiving God's gift of grace and then live it out generously? Now, I got to tell you, the most generous people I know, and I'm not just saying this because I'm here, the most generous people I know are parts of this faith family. We have a very generous group of people here. But I want to say to you, it's an honor to serve here, but we must all come to realize that we need to be generous and gracious with our lives. Look at Luke 11, 42, the next verse. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Now, let's stop and have a little side note here that's sort of separate from today's message, but this is the one and only place in the Bible, in the New Testament, that Jesus mentions the concept of tithing. It's not clearly mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. It is alluded to, but this is the one place he mentions it. The Old Testament, if you've often wondered, well, are we still supposed to tithe or not? Let me share with you for just a second. The Old Testament required a tithe, which literally meant a tenth of your crops. It required a tenth of your animals at certain times of the year. And really what it would amount to is, believe it or not, the Israelites did not give 10% of their crops and animals. Do you know what the percentage was? The Israelites gave an average of 23 1/3% of their crops and animals. You say, how do you figure that? They would give a tithe at one of the festivals. They would give a tithe at another time. And then there was a certain event every 3 years where you gave another tithe from the previous 3 years. So you average that out. It's 23 1/3%. And so that's the Old Testament concept of tithing. But the Pharisees had taken this tithing practice to an extreme, and they were even tithing from their mint and their herbs. Every little bit they were tithing. Now, what is that? Again, it's an example of how the Pharisees and religious people will build burdens beyond the law of God. You may say, so Chris, are you saying that we're not supposed to tithe? No, look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to practice the latter without leaving the former undone. He said that you are to practice the latter, the tithe, without leaving the former, giving to those in need and caring for others, undone. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that motive matters. He was saying that our walk with him is more than just checking a box of, well, I did this and I wrote this check and I did it this way. It involves a love for God. It involves justice for others. And so now in the New Testament, we use what we call grace giving. And this idea of grace giving, some still call it a tithe because they use a tenth. But the reality is grace giving begins at that place. Now, there's someone that's heard me say right here, so you're saying I don't have to give. No, that is not what I'm saying at all. In fact, it would be the opposite, that because of the grace of God in our lives, it should lead us to give generously and graciously. I would say at least a tithe, but really even more. Say, well, where do you get that from? Think about this. The poorest Israelite slave was required to give 23 1/3% of their income, of their crops and their animals. Every year. Do you think he would require less of those of us that have been blessed beyond measure and received the power of salvation and his grace? So what I would say is, if you have a mindset that says, what's the least I can get by with and God will be okay with, you're missing the point altogether. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about. It has to be about the motive in our heart as well. But what we want to say is, by grace, I want to give and be obedient to be a part of that. And I think a tithe is the place to start. Now, if you're here and you're saying, Chris, I'll be honest, I no one else knows this, but I don't give, or I struggle to give, and I surely don't give a tithe. What I would say to you is just start with something today. Start with an act of obedience, of giving something, and then begin to make a plan to increase that until you can get to that point. If you're a guest here today, you may think, well, we're talking about money. Is that all you guys talk about? No, it's not actually at all. But the reality is, I would say this, that giving to your local faith family, giving to the Lord through your local body, your local church, is not an issue of obedience. Can I check the box and make it happy? It's an issue of spiritual walk. It's about, are we being obedient spiritually, not just a fiscal financial thing. So I would encourage us all to think through where we are in the giving process and consider what that means. Now, some may say, well, that church, they don't need our money. Well, here's what I would say to you about that. Whatever you give, now I don't know what you give, by the way, but whatever you give, I know what I give, and I'm the only one I know, but whatever you give, I would ask you to ask this question. If everyone gave to the Lord's work at Albertville First Baptist Church like I do, what type of ministry could we have? Now, for some of us, we hear that and we realize the lights would shut out real quick, things would go dark, we wouldn't be able to survive. For others, it's not about the amount, it's about the obedience of the heart. It's about our, and really, it has to do more with percentage, the fact that we are being obedient to show that everything we have belongs to him. So friends, I encourage every last one of us, from the newest member to the one who's been the member the longest, let's all be faithful to be obedient to the Lord in this area. A religious person would say, what's the least I can get away with? A person who's following hard after the Lord would say, God, I want to be gracious. You show me how to give. And just be obedient to what that is for you. Luke 11:43, let's keep going. That was a side note. Now we're back to the message. It says this, woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and respectful greetings in the marketplace. Again, he is saying appearance should never trump intimacy with the Savior. They were looking for a seat of honor and to be seen by other people. He said, don't do that. It's not about appearance. It's about intimacy with Jesus. Luke 11, 44 says, woe to you because you are like unmarked graves which people walk over without knowing it. According to the law, if you were to walk over an unmarked grave, you were to step on top of a grave, that would mean you were unclean, believe it or not, in biblical days. And so the idea, Jesus was saying to them, you look safe and clean on the outside, but you're dirty and defiled. Now, I don't know about you, but you've got to remember something. This conversation was happening around a dinner table. Now, you just think that the holidays with your family are awkward, okay? When Jesus starts to tell you you are unmarked grave, people walk over you and they're defiled. Listen, that's not hors d'oeuvre conversation. Jesus was bold with his words, quite frankly. So Luke 11, 45 and 46, it wasn't just Pharisees there. There were some scribes and experts of the law as well. Look, they join in the conversation now. They say, one of the experts of the law answered him, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. Now, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus just had a friendly little nice response? But look what he says to them. Verse 46, Jesus replied, and you experts of the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Well, dinner table's getting better and better, right? This is not an easy conversation. But realize this, the teachers and the scribes were obviously loading people down with legalism, rules, and burdens. They weren't just giving them the life-giving power of God's word. They would add to that certain requirements and regulations. Now, remember, the average person in biblical days did not have access to the copy of God's word on their own. The average person did not. The main way they received God's word, the Old Testament at that point, was when it was passed down from a rabbi or for a leader, someone who would stand and read from a scroll, someone who would teach them that way. Now think about us. We are very blessed to have direct access to the word of God and direct revelation of understanding from the Holy Spirit inside of us. Listen, we are so beyond what the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and the teachers of the law had to deal with. We can all have access to God's word. In fact, if you don't have a copy of God's word, you don't have to leave here without one. We will gladly give you one today. But here's the secret. You can have access to unlimited numbers of copies of God's word through the internet, through apps on your phone. They're free. All kinds of ways. We are blessed to have God's word. But sadly, many believers still settle for only consuming what teachers of the law are passing on to them. Now, I hope we're not scribes and Pharisees here, but some of us, all we end up with is what your Sunday school leader is teaching you, or what the pastor or whoever happens to be filling the pulpit or the table for today happens to be teaching you. And I want to say to you, our desire is to teach you truth and point you to the gospel and to Jesus. But if this is all you get, you're missing out on more of what God has for you, because the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me as I prepare a message to share with you is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, believer, the same one that will help you as you read the Word of God. This is going to sound bad for a pastor to say, but you don't need me. You don't need me to process the word for you. Now, I'm privileged to get to stand and proclaim the truth, but God has entrusted you with the ability to do that yourself. So friends, don't settle for just what you get here. I'll use a little illustration. I have a blender here, and I'll show you really quickly what I mean. If I were to ask you to name your favorite vegetable, many of us in this room would say green beans. There's nothing much better than fresh green beans picked out of the garden, where you can get those cooking for a while, and you can doctor them up with the healthy stuff like bacon or lard or anyway, whatever. You get the good stuff to make them taste really, really good. Who likes green beans? Raise your hand. Oh, I heard a little woo even. Okay, we like green beans. Who's having some for lunch today? Raise your hand. Not very many. People, come on, enjoy life. If you like them, eat them. But anyway, so what I would say to you is this, though. Think about a baby. Babies eat green beans, right? How do they eat them? They're pureed. Now, I don't have fresh green beans, but I brought a can of some green beans, and these are fresh out of the can. And let's not make a mess here. If we pour them right in here just like this, and we get ready to make these. Now, there are these people that like, I say these people, but there are people that like to process their own foods for babies, something organic, something natural. And if that's the case for you, that's fine, but you can buy a little can anyway. But so if I... Now, we're going to have communion again. No, I'm just kidding. This... I'll be honest with you, it smells good. I mean, it does. It smells like green beans. It smells good. I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to ask anybody else to drink it at this point. But what I would say to you is this. If you love green beans, if you're a baby, this is the way you're going to get them. Hopefully you develop a love for them later on. But for those of us more mature, those of us a little older, those of us who can chew and can not choke, those things... We don't want it like this. This would be a sad, sad substitute. Now, you'd get every nutrient that was in there. You'd get the flavor. But the consistency would not be the same. And what I would say to you is that if all you get of God's word is what you get from me, your favorite radio speaker, or your Sunday school leader, you will get nutrients, truth, good things. But if somebody else has had to process it for you, sooner or later, you need to understand you're settling for something for someone. Now listen, I don't mean to be offensive, but I'm just going to say it straight up. That's for children. God has so much more in store for you. It's so much better when a kid can move from this to the real thing. And what I would say to you is I'm not saying that when we teach you it's not the real thing, but I am saying you're missing out on some of the pleasures of the Word of God. And so if you're here and you've not been consistent in God's Word, what I would ask you to do is to put away the processed stuff for a while. Go to God's Word yourself. You may say, but Chris, I don't know how to understand what I'm reading. Listen, I promise you, we would be glad to help you with that. We can help you with some study plans. We can sit down with you and show you how to systematically walk through different books of the Bible. We are honored to do that here and would be happy to do so. So if you'll let us know, that will be something we will be glad to do. And everyone has to learn at some point how to systematically walk through God's Word. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. Let us know if we can help you with that. But what you will come up with on your own, if you'll be consistent, a diet of God's Word on your own, consistently in your life, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. My goodness, what a difference it will make in your life. And you will be enjoying the good stuff. So if you've not been in God's Word, listen, can I invite you to the adult table? I invite you to join us. I invite you to be a part of that. We will help you. No judgment from us. We will help you learn how to discern God's Word. These Pharisees, these Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, these men had begun to add their own burdens to the Word of God because the others didn't have access to it. So friends, you have access. Let us help you with that. The same Holy Spirit in me is the same one that wants to help you. You can do it. So I encourage you with that. Let's keep going. Luke 11:47. Woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets. And it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets and you build their tombs. Verse 49, because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, others whom they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Verse 52, woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. Again, remember, all of these harsh words about people they had killed and what they had done to the prophets were happening at a dinner table. So how had these people taken away the key to knowledge? They had hindered the Holy Spirit's work through the Word of God. How did they hinder that knowledge? They did it a few ways. We learn from the Scripture and what we know about them. They did it through legalism, being very legalistic with the Word of God. They did it through personal agenda over biblical interpretation. We want it to mean this, so we will say it this way. This is what we will do. They did it through following tradition over life-giving truth of God's Word. Listen, that happens sometimes, but it's so important that we go to what God's Word says. Look at the next verse, Luke 11:53. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. And it was just another meal in the life of Jesus. I don't know how he did it. Over and over, he would be in these tough spots and have a meal with people where he would teach them or call them out or discipline them or bring people to salvation. He was doing ministry around the meal table over and over and over again. Now, what I would say to you today from this passage, it's a powerful passage. What are you and I to apply to our lives? What's the next step for you? What's the next step for me? I've listed four or five things. I'll give them to you quickly if you're writing things down. If not, just find the one that applies to you. Number one, go back to the beginning of the passage. Don't worry about cleaning the cup. Start with what's inside the cup. Repent. If there's sin in your life, don't worry about what you look like on the outside and what others might think. I would encourage you to repent, to bring your brokenness to Jesus. Listen, again, God wants us to be transparent with him, so I would encourage you with that. If that's you, you've been struggling and no one else knows about it, just make personal repentance, a change of mind and attitude that says, I'm going to change with God's help, by God's grace and God's strength. And don't worry so much about what the outside looks like, but change from the inside out. Secondly, I would say to some of us here, for us, we need to live our love for God through generous giving. I mentioned it earlier, but just start somewhere. If you haven't given at all, start by giving something. If you give 5%, okay, move it to 6 next week. Find a way to increase to generous, gracious giving. If you are a regular tither, and I got to be honest, a lot of you are. We're very blessed as a church. But if that's the case, prayerfully consider how you can continue to be gracious in your giving and partnering with the kingdom of God and doing other things. I'm so thankful for even the past 2 weeks when we mentioned a special need for the Gaithers in Belize, for the hurricane damage that came through and their great need for help. In a matter of about 7 or 8 days, you gave over $4,000 to help them, just above and beyond, on our regular giving doesn't even suffer. Time and time again, you step up and help. So thank you for that. Thank you for being generous. But I'll encourage you to think about your entire life as gracious living. How can you be generous in every aspect of your life, you and me? The third thing I would say as a takeaway from this passage is this: don't settle for pre-processed, pre-chewed food. Come to God's Word, come to the table on your own. Now listen, I would encourage you to learn from leaders. Learn from those who are leading in Bible study and those who are preaching and teaching. I do as well. I have a regimen every single week of people that I listen to if I want to go listen to a message because I want to be fed by somebody besides just my own teaching. So I've got people I listen to. I've made a commitment this year that I was going to focus on reading leadership books for the church, reading about how to be a strong leader as a believer. I'm on book number 21 right now for the year, but I got to tell you, it doesn't matter how many of those I read in a certain amount of time, none of those are near as important, and they all pale in comparison to my time in God's Word. That is where the meat is found. That is where life is given. I've read some incredible books by some incredible men and women on church leadership, but I can tell you none of them gave life except the Word of God. And so what I would encourage you is find ways to learn from others, but go to God's Word on your own. You may say, how do I start? Invest in a good Bible with a good concordance or just a good Bible app. The software is out there that will help you begin to process. And then pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Come to us for help. We will help. The next step for some of you, though, might be this. You need to examine your own life to determine if you, like those teachers of the law, have been a hindrance to others growing in Christ. You say, well, how do you determine that? Well, ask yourself this question, and you'll have to answer it yourself. Am I legalistic? Ask that question. Am I holding people to a standard that is beyond a standard of the Scripture? And then maybe ask this question, do I have a religious agenda that is not from God's word? It's my own idea of one, if that's the case. Ask this, does tradition matter more to you than God's word? Now, friends, I got to tell you something. One of the joys of pastoring a 137-year-old church is that this church is steeped in tradition. There are many traditions in this church. Good, great, wonderful traditions. But please hear me say this, that if we come to the place where we say, I love the past and I want things to be just as they were, you have to understand there's never been a church in existence that did not change over time. Why? Because times change. I did not say we change the scripture. I did not say that we change at all what we are about when it comes to the message. We must always preach Jesus. We must always preach the inerrancy of God's word. We must always do this. But we have to realize that it's a terrible way to say, I want to honor our past by letting our future die. What past are we honoring? The past we want to honor is that there have been changed lives by the gospel in this place. The best way to honor that is to ensure that there will continue to be changed lives by the gospel in this place. That's the way we honor the past, to ensure that it continues for the future. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God has done among us, for what he continues to do. I'm thankful for your willingness to reach out, to step outside of maybe what's your comfort zone, to continue to minister to others, as long as we always stay true to the word of God. And that is that we are staying true to making disciples. Let's continue to do that together. Maybe for you, the next step is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, to host your Levi party, to find some friends that don't know the Lord and to put them together with some friends that do and just let them begin to get to know one another. Let the Holy Spirit do his own work in that. Invite someone to come to worship with you. Maybe for you, the next step is to unite with First Baptist Church. God's calling you to be an official part of who we are, to say, I'm part of this. I want to help make a difference in my community. I want to help be a difference maker in the world. Maybe for you, you've given your life to the Lord, so your next step is to say you want to follow through with believer's baptism, showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in your life and that you are walking new in him. Maybe the next step for you is you've been attending worship service here for week after week after week, but you've never tried a small group. Friends, I can't emphasize enough that this is only part of what we do when we gather here. As much as you may feel like you are interacting with others in this place, I want you to look around. Every last one of you are facing the front. You're interacting with me or whoever's up here, but you're not interacting with who's sitting behind you. And there's so much to be said in the scripture, all of those one another verses. You really can't live out a one another verse in a worship service. So what we learn to do is to get together in small groups and do that. If you don't have one, would you try one next week? We will help you find one and hope that you will. You can check out two or three. That's our desire for you, is to find that. So from this passage, there's a lot to take away. There are a number of next steps we can apply to our lives. My prayer is that you find one and make it a part of your life. Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed for just a moment. So what about you? Has there been some level of concern for what others think and it's held you back from taking a step of repentance or a step of ministry in the right direction or a calling to do something or to step up or to serve in some way? If that's the case, I would encourage you to heed Jesus' advice and don't worry about the cup. Worry about what's on the inside. Come, get on your knees for a moment. Allow God to help you. Maybe for you, though, you're here and you are a generous and gracious person, but it's been hard for that to transfer over into your finances. And so today, you make a renewed commitment that you want to be a part of seeing the kingdom of God expand through your giving, through being a part of the local ministry here. Start somewhere. Maybe for you, it's that you realize that you've been selling for the pre-processed word of God. Somebody else has had to chew it and bring it to you. But today you say, by God's help and the Holy Spirit's power, I want to study God's word for myself. I don't want to be afraid of not understanding. I want to study it for myself. Maybe for you, that's your commitment. Maybe for you, it's that you realize you have been holding on to legalism or your own agenda or your own ideas to such an extent that it's been a little bit of a hindrance to somebody else. Well, I would encourage you then, my friend, to come and just spend a moment on your knees with God and just make a renewed commitment to walk in freedom, trusting in the power of God's word to give new life into that area. Maybe for you, God's calling you to unite with our faith family to be a part of what we're doing here. Whatever God is saying to you, we invite you to come to His table today. We invite you to come to this place today. We invite you to come to a moment of decision today. As we sing in just a moment, you respond. If you need to come, I'm here to pray with you. You want to be on your knees, you want to unite with the church, whatever God says. Father God, please have your way among us in this moment, in this place, on this day. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing All to Jesus, I Surrender.